Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. Oh, it's great to have you with us for today's visit to the Pastor's Study. I think that a sermon is the most remarkable thing in the world. One of the old doctrinal statements of the Protestant Reformation very boldly said, "The preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God." Now, that statement most emphatically does not mean that a sermon is equal to the unique, inspired, inerrant, and finally authoritative Word of God, the Bible. What it does mean is that the message given to you by an authorized representative of God, assuming that message is faithful to our final authority, the Bible, is the message God intends for you at the particular time and place in which you hear it. Now, that's why sermons are so remarkable. Now, let me make very clear at this point what I do not mean by a sermon. And these things are, I'm afraid, way too common in so many so-called churches in our nation. I'm not talking about harangues from a pulpit. I'm not talking about the emotional gushes of a preacher's opinions and ideas. And I'm not talking about pulpit messages which are not rooted in and rich with the Bible as the Word of God. Now, these may be forms of vocal communication, even vocal communication delivered from a pulpit, but they are most emphatically not sermons. So what's a sermon, at least in the way Christians have historically understood the term? A sermon is usually delivered by a man who has been trained and ordained to an office in what we call the ministry, the Christian ministry. He may be an ordained pastor, teacher, or evangelist, but he's been called to a particular place of service in an orderly way through the Christian church. He's to be regarded as a messenger for God, an ambassador of Christ. He officially represents the God of the universe and the reigning King Jesus. Now, that in itself is most remarkable. His message from the Bible is to a particular group of people at a particular place in time. Those particular things are treated with the deepest respect by the man who preaches. His sermon is from a text or texts of the Bible. It's clear to the hearers that the one preaching the sermon has really worked hard to both understand and interpret the text or texts from the original languages of the Bible and in their specific and larger context. That's critical to rightly understanding and applying the Bible to you. The sermon is delivered by one, I don't know any other way to put it, other than by one imbued with the heart of God. He's manifestly a shepherd after God's own heart. The sermon is usually delivered to the people of God and others who are with them with a serious and a joyful sense of what that means. The sermon's goal is to form the hearers into disciples of Jesus Christ as both their King and their Savior. And the preacher is always careful to focus on Jesus Christ. The one who preaches always has in mind that the whole Word of God is about Jesus Christ and the Gospel. The Old Testament is about Jesus who would come as the Messiah. The New Testament is about Jesus who did come as the promised Messiah. Now, that's not a heady thing. It comes from nothing less than a profound conviction that Christian preachers are to make known Jesus Christ and the gospel, the good news of liberation from sin and death. Only Jesus and the gospel really change people. The preacher is simply, but I might add wonderfully, God's instrument in this utterly, utterly amazing work. Now, these things are true whether the minister is preaching on a biblical topic, what we call topical preaching, on one or more specific texts of Scripture, what we call textual preaching, or on larger passages as he works through whole books of the Bible, what is technically called consecutive expository preaching. Now, those are the three basic types of Christian preaching. So you can see why a sermon, as I've just described, really is the most remarkable thing in the world. You and I are meant to become different people under preaching like this. That's God's plan. Now, Jesus said, "Take heed," that is, be careful, "what you hear." He says that in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. In fact, you can make a strong case that the most important command in the Bible is hear. You need to be careful what you hear, because you may be taking into your spiritual system something that's poison and not healthy food. And I assure you that there's a lot of poison in too much supposedly Christian and supposedly biblical preaching. But Jesus also said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, "Take heed," again, that means be careful, "how you hear." How you hear a sermon or any teaching that is truly biblical and Christian is quite literally, well, it's quite literally a matter of life and death. And that makes the minister's preaching and your hearing very, very serious matters. Our topic for today's visit to the pastor's study, and it should be a common topic for discussion with your pastor, is how to hear a sermon. You want to visit with us with your questions, your comments, your suggestions, and even your arguments? Phone number 631-955-5400. That's 631-955-5400. But before we get to your calls, let's have our weekly discussion among pastors. Today we have two pastors who have a combined experience of over 40 years of preaching sermons. One has been at the work for over 38 years. That's me, Pastor Bill. And the other has been at the work of preaching for over 5 years. That's Pastor John. My guest again today is Pastor Jonathan Shishko, pastor of Reformation Presbyterian Church, OPC, that is the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fresh Meadows, Queens, New York City. Pastor John, thanks for visiting the pastor's study again today. Let's start by bringing our radio audience, let's take them backstage for a while. They hear the finished product of your sermon when you actually preach. And I always remind ministers that the sermon is not what you have on whatever paper or electronic device you may use in the pulpit to help you remember your material. The sermon is what you actually preach. So, Pastor John, what's the actual process you go through each week as you prepare your weekly sermons?
Well, thank you for having me on the show again. It's good to be with you here today. And this is something that I think pastors like to talk about, although the actual work of sermon preparation can be agonizing. I can't remember a conversation I've had with another pastor where I haven't learned something and have been able to incorporate it in some way into what goes into sermon preparation. My pattern usually is to start sermon preparation during the drive home after church on Sunday. The sermon I've just preached is fresh in my mind, and I reflect back and pray over the text that I preached upon, and then I think about what I'll be preaching on the next week, and I think about how the 2 weeks are related to one another, how things seem to have gone over, not only from the way I think they've gone, but from the various people that have spoken to me about the sermon afterwards. And that's actually when it starts. And then all day Monday, I spend a lot of time praying and thinking about the text. And this is before any translation or commentary work. And then really Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll translate the text that I have in mind. I tend to preach through books of the Bible. Even if I do preach on a topic, I'll find a text that deals with that topic very clearly. Right now, I'm preaching through the end of the book of Romans. I'm in Romans chapter 13, and that's fascinating because it has to do with citizens, Christian citizens, with different rulers, different kings in our day and age and area, different presidents. So it's been very appropriate. So I'll take the section. I think you shouldn't just deal with a verse. You should look at the Bible and see what the author had in mind as far as a paragraph is the idea. So the Bible usually does break into nice, clean paragraphs, unless you're in the book of Psalms or Proverbs. But in Romans, Paul is dealing with different topics in different paragraphs. I'll choose that topic, and then I'll think about it, pray about it through the first part of the week. About Wednesday and Thursday, I'll go back to the original Greek and translate it into English, and then look at a bunch of other translations, the translations that people use, the NIV and the ESV and the King James Version, the New King James Version, and then some others that I like. And at that point, after translating it, looking at all the different versions, you really almost have it memorized. It's not quite memorizing a section of scripture, but in some ways you know it better than if you had memorized it because you've looked at it from so many different angles.
And it's a part of you. It's a part of you by that time.
Precisely. Yeah. You want to come, you know, as a pastor, you want to get to the point where you can make a text of scripture a part of you for that week.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's two parts that I do look at commentaries, especially if there's something that I want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. If it's a difficulty posed by scripture, I want to be able to work through that early in the week so that I can sort of stand on top of that difficulty. And a lot of times those difficulties with scripture end up being the best part of a sermon, a helpful introduction, helpful illustration, something that everybody can hopefully say, oh, I was so helped by that. That's been a difficulty for me all these years. So after translating, after it's a part of you, I'll use commentaries, and I frequently say at Reformation Presbyterian Church, where I pastor, I say my favorite commentators are not the ones on my shelves. They're you. They're you people.
Excellent.
You're my favorite commentators. And I look at the commentaries on my shelf the same way, or I try to. You know, I'll take somebody off the shelf, a D.A. Carson or a Tim Keller, and it's a conversation with them. I'm hearing from them what they think is most important about this text that I'm reading about. And then after that point, it's a part of me. I've prayed over it, spoken to God about it. I've conversed with various commentators about it. And
you've been doing your pastoral work throughout the week.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, now, you don't preach at the people, but those things you're garnering fit into what
always.
You're doing.
Always. And, you know, thankfully, you know, you do a lot of pastoral work for me around the weekend, Fridays and Saturdays. I always think of the week as the lowest, the least busy point of the week, or the quietest. It's always busy, but the quietest point in the week is a Monday. And then as you come towards Sunday, it's just more and more involved with other people. And that's because people have more time on a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday to meet with their pastor. So what I love is having that being by Friday or Saturday, being at the point where I have a firm understanding of the text, where I've conversed with the commentators on my shelf about it. I understand it. The text is a part of me. And then I'm interacting with the people of God. I have the sermon in my mind or the text in my mind always, but I'm speaking with people from the congregation. I'm in their homes. I'm hearing about where they struggle. And so frequently, whatever text I'm preaching on is actually tremendously helpful to them on the Friday or the Saturday before the sermon. And I could say, you know, it's fascinating because I'm studying this text and it really applies to what you're talking about, I think. And I'll quote the scripture and say how I see it applying to their lives. And that is actually where the studying of the text becomes or develops more and more into what will be the sermon, is the interaction with people living with it.
We've got to make clear, this is not the same as the preacher who learns stuff from the congregation and then belts it out in the pulpit and offends people. That's not what we're talking about. In a sense, you're studying what the Bible would call the epistles written on human hearts. It becomes an indispensable part of your study of the text, and it's going to form what really is properly called pastoral preaching. We talk about how remarkable preaching is. God has called a pastor of Reformation Presbyterian Church, and through orderly process, you were called there. And you are God's messenger to that congregation when you minister, and that is God's message for them. And that's a glorious, glorious thing. Pastor John, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about, we technically call it the act of preaching. I don't like the phrase, but you're preaching on the Lord's Day. What kinds of things go through your mind when you're actually preaching at Reformation Presbyterian Church, OPC, Orthodox Presbyterian Church, on Sunday mornings?
Well, you're doing an awful lot of things during the act of when you're preaching. You're recalling what you've studied. You are aware of tension points in the text. You're aware of difficulties with the text. And then, you know, I always get a kick out of the articles on preaching or books on preaching. And I say, you know, you can read an awful lot about dancing, but you're only going to learn how to dance if you get out on the dance floor and dance.
Yeah.
And that's an awful lot of what it's like with preaching. It's same thing with sports. You can learn a lot of football from the whiteboard.
And our early efforts in preaching are very much like those early
Absolutely.
Efforts in dancing.
Dancing and football. It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can learn a lot of football from a whiteboard, but you got to get out on the field and play. And, you know, you do articles and whatnot. You know, it's either so simplistic, you know, just get out there and preach the good news from the heart. It's like, well, of course.
Yeah.
Or it's here's 57 ways to make your sermon on Sunday better. It's like, oh, well, yeah, exactly.
What if you missed number 48?
Right, yeah. And then you'll be thinking about that. But during it is when you actually learn, and as a younger preacher, that was the hardest, was getting up there every Sunday. I found I had to do it regularly, you know, once every month or once every or twice a month even. I didn't grow until I was preaching regularly once a week, which at points I felt bad that the congregation had to put up with me once a week. But I learned so much through that because you're learning very simple thing. You're learning how to look at the front of people's faces instead of the back of their heads.
Yeah.
You grow up, if you're involved with a church, every Sunday you go in, you sit down, you're looking at the back of everybody's heads and the pastor. All of a sudden, that's reversed. They're looking at your face. You're looking at the front of everybody's face, you know, the side of their head that makes the expressions that they make. And you have to learn with that. And you have to actually respond to that. You know, among other things, you're looking into eyes. They're the windows into the soul. You're not communicating well if you're not making eye contact. You don't want to make eye contact with the same person for the entire 30 minutes of the sermon. You need to bounce from
eyes
to eyes.
That's very difficult for that person.
Exactly. There's all these things.
Yeah.
And you have to learn that people's expression during a sermon could look like they're being tortured, and then that same person might come to you after a sermon and say, oh, that was the best sermon I ever heard. You can realize that some people listen with their eyes closed, and that's not the same as putting everybody to sleep. And at the same time, you need to be able to realize that if it's a hot day, we don't have air conditioning at the public school where we meet for worship in August. I need to change the way I preach,
sure.
Or at least the length, and be mindful of that, because there is a stillness and an eyes glazed over that comes.
Yeah.
So you're actually reflecting on all of your preparation, on what God is saying in the text, what he's saying to the specific people you're ministering to, and their response during the preaching. All of that is going on during preaching.
Yeah, situational factors are so important. If you have an especially well-known and loved member of the congregation who dies on a Saturday, and you're in the middle of Romans 13 dealing with a civil magistrate, even though normally you're going to spend a lot more time in preparation, you know, as God's messenger to that congregation, people come in on Sunday morning and they're in shock over the death of this loved one within the church. Well, you as a pastor, your pastor's heart and your general love for the Word of God is going to work out in what may not be as fully crafted a sermon, but a sermon that is really meant, that is clearly God's message for the people there. Real quickly, we have a break coming up here. Pastor John, be honest, what kinds of comments from your hearers are really, really helpful to you?
Any kind of comment that takes an instance in the sermon and spends any amount of time on it, positive or negative, is tremendously helpful. You know, it's encouraging to hear, oh, that was a great sermon. It's helpful even to hear, you know, I just didn't find myself connecting with that sermon. So whether it's positive or negative criticism, you can always profit from it. But when a specific instance from a sermon is taken, I had someone recently, I was speaking about offering, you know, the financial side to a church that enables Christ's kingdom to go and funds churches. And someone said the idea that it's not so much a law and an obligation, although the scripture speaks about giving as something, a mandate. It is a law. But it's not the idea, thou shalt give, that was helpful. It was the idea that you focused on, we get to do this. This is a privilege. We get to contribute. Yeah. We get to be a part of it. And by taking a specific instance in the sermon and isolating that and saying, this is what was really helpful to me, that's tremendously helpful for me, because then even when I'm dealing with a different topic or text, I'm going to take that feedback and reflect on it and say, you know, what sort of thing do I want people who have heard this walking away saying? What do they want to feed on and focus on?
Yeah, probably the least helpful of the well-meant comments when people say, great sermon, Pastor. You know, it wasn't, but they're being polite. But for people to say things like, I was really convicted of a particular sin here, or Christ was made precious to me especially by, or that illustration really impacted me. Those kinds of specific comments are so helpful. We are talking about how to hear a sermon, Pastor Bill Shishko with Pastor John Shishko, and yes, it's father and son, and we're here discussing the work that we love to do so much. A phone number to call, 631-955-5400. We'd love your questions, your comments, your suggestions, your arguments. But let's hear, first of all, about Reformation Metro New York.
That great city, New York, the largest city in the United States. The population of its metropolitan area now totals nearly 20 million people, one of the largest population centers in the world. And Greater New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach metropolitan New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Greater New York are America's richest and most neglected ones. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Presbytery of Connecticut and Southern New York of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is furthering the ministry for which it was started in 1998. Now, through Reformation Metro New York, the Presbytery is extending its ministry nationally and internationally through A Visit to the Pastor's Study and other projects designed to further the ongoing biblical reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. We ask you to remember, too, that Greater New York is one of the most expensive areas in the United States. We need the help of others in our labors. We need your prayers, but we also need your financial support. Your donations to Reformation Metro New York enable us to broadcast our Visits to the Pastor's Study and also to promote historic Reformation teaching and church planting in our area. Your gifts are fully tax deductible. We welcome your gifts to Reformation Metro New York, P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. That's Reformation Metro New York, P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. For more information, check out our website at www.reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach metropolitan New York is to reach the world.
We love metropolitan New York, and we love ministering in this area. Pastor Bill Shishko with you, Pastor Jonathan Shishko with you as well. Visit to the Pastor's Study. We're dealing with how to hear a sermon. We'd love your phone calls with questions and comments. 631-955-5400. Pastor John, someone comes to you and says, Pastor John, how can I get the most out of your preaching? What do you tell them?
Well, I tend to think in terms of a verse from the Old Testament and a verse from the New Testament, one that isn't really have to do specifically with preaching, but it's a story we're aware of. Jacob from the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, chapter 32, he wrestles with an angel of the Lord, and it's funny, he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And I want people coming in Sunday morning with that attitude.
Excellent.
And, you know, that's a measure of humility from me, because it's saying, you know, if you're coming in, my sermons will never be so good that you don't need to come in wanting to get a blessing from them. You need to come in eager, which is a verse I'm going to get to, but you need to come in ready, willing, active to get a blessing, to secure that. I love later in the Old Testament, it says, Jacob strove with the angel and prevailed. Well, you're going to have to strive with my preaching and prevail. And that's the attitude that you're going to have. It's not an attitude of, well, I'm going to see if the preacher does this. Oh, he's preaching on that text. He had better cover that. I'm going to see how many times he gets to Jesus. I'm going to see how he ties in the, you know, if you're going with that, you're walking in with a critical attitude, and you will never get the blessing that you need. So you're going to have to go into any preaching weekly and say, I am going to get a blessing from this. And you will, by God's grace. And then the other verse I love is Acts 17:11, which says, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Now, a lot of people will speak about that verse and come along the lines of, well, I'm going to examine what he's saying to see if these things are so. And they completely forget the first part of the verse, which is first you have to receive it eagerly or receive it gladly. You have to actually receive the words that are spoken in order to reflect
on. They have to have a noble heart.
Noble heart.
A noble heart, yeah, which is an interesting phrase. I forget the original language, but basically these were people that wanted to be upright before God and man when they did this. That's so important.
Start by receiving it eagerly, and then you take it with you into your week so that you can then examine the scriptures and see how those things are so.
Yeah. We have a call from Wayne in Elmont. Wayne in Elmont, welcome to A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Hello, Pastor Cisco. It's good to hear you guys on this radio. I tell you, I'm calling to let you know one of the things I really appreciate more and more in my life is the fact that there are faithful men who preach faithfully from the Word of God and don't move away from it. You know, I've been through many things in my life, as you probably know, and the point is, one thing I look for in a message of God is that the men are staying faithful to the Word, and they are faithful to God, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a beautiful thing to hear. I come to appreciate two thoughts also. One is, the other thing is that when it's not only on the pastor's side to do that work, to prepare himself to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to pray about messages, but it's on also our side to prepare ourselves to come to worship. Because if we are coming to worship God and we look to seek God in our hearts, and that means, you know, one of the things I find a lot of people don't do is get in the church earlier, coming into the church in a quiet mode and praying to receive the Holy Spirit, then realizing that the worship is not only part of the sermon itself, but it's the whole aspect of the service, from the very beginning of it to the benediction. It's the prayers, it's the music, it's the words that we sing, and then it is the preaching of the word and hearing that word. I'm thankful for you for being such a faithful pastor for so many years also.
Well, praise the Lord for that, Wayne. Thank you for calling. You know, I think of the illustration, Wayne, when Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers historically, Spurgeon was probably, I think you'd probably say, the most gifted preacher in the entire Christian era, other than maybe time of the apostles. And one time someone commented to him on a Sunday morning about the power in the pulpit, and he said, let me show you where that power comes from. And he took the person to the basement of the Metropolitan Tabernacle, where he preached in England in the latter part of the 19th century. And there were dozens of people, if not hundreds of people, before the worship service praying for God's blessing. Wow. And I think that's indicative of what you said. Wayne, while we've got you on the phone, I don't have much longer before our break, but what do you do personally so that you can most profit from preaching?
Well, what I do, well, first thing I do is I always read the text. You know, one of the beautiful things is we always get the text. We used to always get the text early during the week. And thankfully, we would get the bulletin. And really just look at the text that's going to be talked about, you know, and then to pray over that text. And not only that, but to realize, you know, one of the things I have had the benefit of doing is being listening to a lot more preaches in the last few months and to understand how to, you know, I think another thing you might want to do one day is how do you observe, you know, deal with a sermon, you know, the introduction, the points, the applications, you know, to be ready to receive all this, to realize that God is working through that man to bring us word. You see, we come to, sometimes people come to hear the preaching of the word, and they, you know, they're waiting, okay, now what do you got to give me? No, we should be anticipating to be getting the word from God. It's because it's actually God who's talking to us. And so we prepare for that. And the only way to prepare for that is to know the text, even to get to church early and look at the bulletin, read the scriptures, pray over the scriptures, and ask God to give you some application of that. And I do that. I love being in early church. I love praying for the preaching of the word. And then I love the hearing of the word. I've been hungry for the word a long time, and you know my situation. And I just thank God that I am in a faithful church where men come and preach the word and only the word and not their opinions, their thoughts, or whatever they want to go off on, you know?
Yeah. Boy, Wayne, I should have you as a guest on here sometime. Yeah, it's and of course, what you're saying registers another thing, is that in a well-ordered church, there's a lot of care, if a pulpit is going to be vacant, a lot of care by the governing body of that church, the elders of that church, over who's going to fill the pulpit, and without dictating what the minister says, giving some guidance to that visiting minister about what's most needed. Because back of all this is that God has ordained a pastor, a minister, to preach to a congregation at a given place and time. Wayne, thanks so much for your call. Keep listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
I certainly will. God bless you.
And you also. We'll be back with A Visit to the Pastor's Study after this message.
To listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television, everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We have churches in Hamden, in southern Connecticut, in Mount Vernon, New York, in Fresh Meadows, Queens, and on Long Island, in Franklin Square, Syosset, and Bohemia. In each of these churches, you can expect biblically faithful worship, biblically faithful ministries, and biblically faithful church life. And that biblical faithfulness will always point you to Jesus Christ and the gospel, what the Bible is all about. For more information on these congregations and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, check out www.opc.org. That's www.opc.org. Here you'll find addresses of Orthodox Presbyterian churches near you. And here you'll also find a treasure of material to help you in your Christian life and to further your knowledge of the Bible as the Word of God. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at wshishko@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's wshishko@gmail.com.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you today. Phone number 631-955-5400. We started taking calls earlier in the program, so you have more time to call in the next few minutes. 631-955-5400. My guest today, Pastor John Shishko of Reformation Presbyterian Church in Queens. We're talking about how to hear a sermon. Let's talk a little bit about children, Pastor John. It's interesting that in the New Testament, Ephesians and Colossians in particular, you have Paul speaking to a whole congregation, and then he speaks to the husbands, and then the wives, and the children, and the parents, and the servants. And all of those were part of the household of a first century. And so we always say that the household is the basic unit of the church. We don't have servants today in our day, but we do have children. And some people have employees that they invite to worship, too. But talking about the children, how do you engage the children in your preaching?
I would say that, oddly enough, the children have been one of the most significant aids in preparing preaching. When I was in seminary, the school to learn how to preach and teach and study God's Word, One of the best lessons I learned was that if you preach something so simple that a child can understand it, then all the adults can understand it too. But if you're preaching that over the heads of all of the children, you're probably preaching over the heads of at least some of the adults as well. So it's helpful to think in terms of how you could make something not dumbed down, never dumb down anything, but you should think about how simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. How can you make it simple enough for a child to understand? And what that's meant for us at Reformation is a few things. Number one, we do get that bulletin out early, and we try to have songs that the children can participate in throughout the entire worship service, so that it's not just show up for a sermon, it's an entire worship service in which the children are involved with singing and professing their faith, standing up and sitting down at various prayers and songs. And then when it comes to the preaching, there needs to be pickup areas for the children where you address the children specifically. Yeah. Same idea. If you address the children, all the adults are going to pay attention. I mean, unless you do it excessively. But you pick up the children on things they can understand, and there's so much from the scriptures that they can then pick up at points better than adults do.
Sure. Yeah.
So you think of illustrations. You think of things they can resonate with. You think of poems that they can memorize. And another thing that we do is we always have a children's bulletin, one for the very young ages, and then one for older ages, 4 to 7 years old, 1 to 3 year old sort of bulletin. So that, I mean, if they're 1 to 2 years old, they can go off to the nursery. If they're older than that and they're in with us, they can follow along on a children's bulletin, which gives them different ways to focus on the text that you're preaching. So again, by focusing on texts of scriptures, you can prepare with a bulletin on that text geared towards children.
Yeah, one of the most precious things in my study, along with my books, are these pictures that children would give me over the years. We had certain families that would give their little children a piece of paper to color on or draw pictures. And so these little 2 and 3 year old children, or a little bit older, would they could listen to a sermon and still be doing a picture. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but these children can. And so they'd give me these pictures after the sermon. And it was interesting to see the kinds of things that they would draw. Usually there was something about one of the illustrations or something that they would draw, but it's so important to engage the children in the preaching. Now, talk about attention. So how do you keep the attention of your listeners, whether they're younger or older? We don't live in a culture with great attention spans anymore, as we're all finding. Probably the age of hour-long or 2-hour-long sermons is long gone. How do you engage the attention of people with a culture with short attention spans?
Right. I mean, here, whether it's children or young people or adults, regardless, the attention of the hearers is critical. And when it comes to children especially, I'd encourage all parents to keep in mind that adults have short attention spans too. They just hide it better. So adults, they tend to be able to think about their work week while they look like they're paying attention, whereas children will just blurt out whatever they're thinking about or move around wherever they are and do whatever they live outwardly better than adults do. So, you know, if taking notes helps, great. If drawing pictures helps, great. A lot of times we don't pay attention because we're listening. Focusing too much on listening instead of sort of engaging ourselves in different ways. So a lot of people listen better by taking notes or drawing pictures or whatever it might be, whether it's children or older people. What I try to do is really put myself in the position of a hearer, whether that's a child or an adult. I always think about the introduction. No matter what, they're listening to you at the point of the introduction. If you lose them in the introduction, then you've lost them for the whole thing. But, you know, make that introduction engaging. Make sure it has to do with the text, that it's not divorced from what everything else you're going to be speaking about during that time. And then think about questions. You know, I heard someone or read somewhere recently, you know, if you don't find someone interesting, it's because you're asking the wrong questions or you're not asking questions. And in a sermon, you use questions not because you're looking for a response there on the spot, but you want people to stop and think where they are about how they would answer that. So you pierce into their consciousness with a question. you want to relate to them. One thing I love doing is picking up on where the Bible uses words we just don't use anymore. Behold. You know, nobody walks into the office on Monday morning and says, "Behold, I've got a new iPhone." Nobody says that. We don't use the word behold any longer. What we do say is, "Would you look at this?" Or, "Would you look at that?" Or, "Check this out." So ways that you can...
Or we use the overused word awesome. Everything's
right.
Everything is awesome, sure.
As the Lego song has pointed out to all of us. That's another example, though. You know, instead of opening up the etymology of the word awesome and you know, take something like the Lego movie and a popular song from it. Everything is awesome. And speak to the people about that. They can relate to it. If they haven't heard that song, they'll YouTube it afterwards. So, the Bible's written to a specific people at a specific point in time. I'm speaking to a specific people at a specific point in time. My burden, honestly, is if I'm not presenting the Word of God as so relevant that you pay attention, I'm misrepresenting it. It needs to be relevant.
Yeah, I think this is one of the challenges, of course, with preachers in our day. We're so much more influenced by mass media than generations before, and varieties of mass media. And the challenge for a preacher is he needs, above all else, to be a man of the book and the great mediator, the Lord Jesus. And you can't keep up with these things. And a whole, perhaps almost untapped area by which you can grow in your ability to apply the Scriptures is to ask congregation members and friends, just out of curiosity, what movies or television programs have you watched recently? What did you learn from them? How do you think about them as a Christian? And frankly, most of us probably watch too much of that stuff, but people do watch it. And there's lessons that you can learn from a new movie that came out. Then the preacher can take that, even if he hasn't seen it himself, and learn from it and make application, because we need to be applying the Word of God more to our own culture. Pastor John, what are the main things that you want people to get out of your preaching each week?
The thing I always want people to get out of preaching is a sense of relationship with Jesus Christ, who speaks through his word. You could summarize that as Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He doesn't just save you from your sins and then leave you to figure out everything else for yourself. He leads you along. He draws you into his own household. So, yes, he forgives you of your sins. You're justified in him if you're trusting in him. You have a perfect standing with God through him. And now God is your father. And God is a wonderful father. He's a loving father. He's speaking to you. He's directing you. He's saying, this is the story that you're a part of. He's saying, here's the chapter of the story that you're in, and here's what life looks like. And I want people leaving with a genuine excitement over the Word of God and seeing that this isn't some esoteric old book that we dust off occasionally, but this is the book that speaks to my every day, my every minute, I'll ask questions like, how does somebody take this into a Monday? How does this change someone right there as they sit?
How are you meant to
day?
Be different from this?
Yeah. How are you transformed? How are you different? And those are ways that I would want to see people change. I want to see them transformed from that time, that 30-minute sermon, from that 30 minutes of listening, not to a person who's speaking, but to God's word ministered to them, a servant of the Lord simply speaking about God's word to specific people.
Yeah. Phone number 631-955-5400. Visit to the pastor's study. We're talking about how to hear a sermon. One of the things that pastors are urged to do as they work on their sermon outline is to crystallize into one sentence what the purpose of their sermon is. The purpose is to remind people, let people know of the seriousness of the day of judgment, let people know of the glories of Christ the Redeemer, and even getting down to more specifics. I want people to leave this being repentant for their sexual fantasies, whatever the thing would be. So from the minister's perspective, that's what you do. From the perspective of the hearer, you ask yourself, what is really the driving burden in that ministerial? The words are different. I've always been struck by the phrase in the prophets, the burden of the word of the Lord. And it isn't the same as what we think of as burden, but it's still helpful. There's something that is pressure on him, and he's got to get this message out. Frankly, if you have the minister has the attitude to be very blunt, he says, you know, I really don't give a tinker's damn what people do with what you do. You don't want to be under that kind of preaching. You want to have a man that has a real burden to see things change. We're talking today about how to hear a sermon, and we'd love your phone call, 631-955-5400. I'm with Pastor John Shishko. Let me take just a couple of minutes of time and tell you about the program. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of what we call a presbytery. It's a regional group of churches in Connecticut and southern New York of our parent body, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And if you're in Hamden, Connecticut, or nearby, or Mount Vernon, New York, or nearby, or Fresh Meadows, Queens, where Pastor John is, or Franklin Square here on Long Island, or Syosset here on Long Island, or Bohemia here on Long Island, there's Orthodox Presbyterian congregations there, and they're part of this presbytery that is a sponsor of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Now, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church as a whole is a nationwide church body and does mission work in many, many fields around the world. Our work is not to plant Orthodox Presbyterian churches around the world, but to help churches in those nations. But here we have the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and I want to encourage you to look up our denominational website, www.opc.org. It's the official website of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, www.opc.org. I was just looking at it last week again for some different things. What tremendous resources. There's material about hymns and hymn songs, and then there's archives of essays and articles for ministers, pastors, deacons. There's answers to your questions, something like this program. It's really a rich website. Make use of that, www.opc.org. And the broadcast work itself that you're hearing comes from Reformation Metro New York Incorporated. That's a not-for-profit corporation that produces A Visit to the Pastor's Study and will be producing some other materials to help you understand historic doctrinal standards and doing some Vimeos to help you as pastors. So we really, as we say every week, we're really about the church. And while we're representing local churches and churches in a region, our goal is to help you in your church life and to be an encouragement to faithful church ministry. If you'd like to find out more about Reformation Metro New York Incorporated, very easy to contact us. You can just put RMNY Incorporated, Reformation Metro New York Incorporated, P.O. Box 234. That's an easy one. Franklin Square, New York, 11010. That's P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. And I'd love to hear from you personally. Probably the easiest way to contact me is visit Pastor Bill. That's all one word. Visit Pastor Bill at gmail.com. Or you can call me in my study, 516-593-1507. Then I would love to hear from you, 516-593-1507. Right now, you can reach A Visit to the Pastor's Study by calling 631-955-5400. Our topic for today is how to hear a sermon, and our guest pastor today is Pastor John. I think we have another phone call. Am I right, Mr. Engineer? Very good. Who do we have on the line?
This is Eric Nieves.
Hello, Eric. Good to speak with you.
Hey, Eric.
Hi.
What's on your mind, Eric?
My question relates to listening to the sermon through media. In this day and age where there are so many people that are required to work on Sundays, is it a valid option to listen to sermons strictly through media, whether it's online or on radio, and really, really not hardly ever join the church? In fellowship of the saints in person.
I'm going to let Pastor John deal with that one.
Well, that's a terrific question, and I think what we need to keep in mind, Eric, is that there are reasons that people need to work on Sundays and cannot be with everybody meeting on Sundays regularly. If you're a nurse or a doctor, a surgeon, if you're in the police force, fire department, you know, these are vocations that actually require you to absent yourself from worship on Sunday in order to serve everybody and protect everybody. But you used a good word in there. You said, you know, strictly through media. Is it okay to listen to sermons strictly through media or only through media without being a part of a church that meets? And the answer there is no, that's not okay. Because of what the Bible says, the same word that we preach. In the book of Hebrews, this is not, you know, somewhere back in the Old Testament. In the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, it says that you may not forsake, you shouldn't forsake the assembly of the gathering. And the idea throughout the entire Bible is that you are a part of a group of people, a part of a flawed community, a part of a community that's overseen by leaders, even though they're flawed too. And the ultimate leader, of course, is Jesus Christ, and he is not flawed. And his word is not flawed, and his gospel is perfect, and the good news is perfect. But you're never going to be partaking of the blessings of this good news in Jesus Christ unless you're actually a part of a congregation, an assembly, and a community, a covenant community.
And I think, Eric, very important. That's a great question. And, of course, we're New Yorkers, and we're used to giving blunt responses. My response is, did the Lord just redeem your ears and your eyes, did he redeem your whole person? Of course, the answer is redeemed you body and soul, which means body and soul, we need to be part of a church and worshiping on the Lord's day. But that's a tremendous question, Eric. Hopefully you'll call back sometime in the future.
I will. Thank you very much, and a great answer.
Thanks so much, Eric. God's blessing. Pastor John, don't have much time left. Tell us a little bit about Reformation Presbyterian Church.
Reformation Presbyterian Church is where I'm very thankful to pastor. We're a diverse group that reflects the diversity of Queens itself, the borough where the church is, Queens, New York City. We rent a public school, and we meet in the auditorium. We meet at Public School 173, which is Fresh Meadows, in Fresh Meadows, 17410 67th Avenue in Fresh Meadows, New York. It's right behind the Arby's that is on the LIE. So that's sort of what it stands out to everybody as they're passing through Queens on the LIE. They see the Arby's there. We're right behind that, 17410 67th Avenue at the public school 173, which we rent on Sunday. Our worship service is at 10 o'clock. It's not just preaching. We really advise that people don't just show up for the preaching, but come and worship with us. The service is 10 to 11:15. After that, we have a coffee break, and then adults go into a Bible study afterwards at 11:45. Children go off to a Sunday school program catered to their age. And our website is queensreformation.org, and my email address is john@queensreformation.org. Love to hear from you. Visit our website, and we'd love to have you.
Tell them about your app.
Yes, and we do have a church app, the Reformation Church app, which you can find out about, again, by visiting our website. But the app has been one of the ways that we've prepared people for worship service, honestly. The bulletin is always prepared in advance. It's up there right now for tomorrow. You can access it through the church app or the website. And we use various weekly devotionals to prepare people to profess their faith together on Sunday, to sing their songs together.
Great. Excellent. Look up that app. Hey, we're almost at the end of another visit to the Pastor's Study, but God willing, we'll be back with you next week at the same time. I'd love to hear from you. Write visitpastorbill@gmail.com, or you can call me at my non-radio studio study, 516-593-1507. Remember, everyone needs a pastor. We'll pray together as we break. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll bless ministers who are going to be preaching your word on the Lord's day. Let them be full of the Scriptures, full of Jesus Christ, and bless their labors. Amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetro.org. reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.